Lesson 3, More Advanced Bookport Features. In this lesson, we'll look through the menus of Bookport and describe what each of the functions there does. In addition, there are many other commands for status information, searching, and accessing the help that we'll discuss in more detail. First, let's look at the help command. You can get to the manual anytime by pressing the E key. Now, if the manual is the only thing that you have on your Bookport, of course, the E key will do nothing. But normally, if you're in another file anywhere on the Bookport and you press E like this,
help. Press help again to exit Bookport user's manual Bookport. And Bookport transfer user's manual copyright 2002-2005 American Printing House for the Blind, Incorporated 2005 point.
And we'll stop that. And to exit help, you press E again.
Exit help. And enter to file Leo, Blue Evil Eccentric Observer Alternative Weekly Newspaper.
And you end up, of course, right back where you left off in the book that you're in. I may have mentioned this a time or two, but it bears repeating. When you move from file to file with Bookport, you have a mark automatically set to your last reading point, so there's no need to set a bookmark to remember where you are in each file. You will automatically return to that place as you move from file to file. Another thing that we had not mentioned earlier is the concept of reading versus idle mode on the Bookport. We mentioned to you earlier that when the Bookport is in idle mode, the 1 and the 3 keys move by sentences or lines. The 4, 5, and 6 are your word commands, and the 7, 8, and 9 are your character commands. Well, the 1 and the 3 stay the same. They perform the same functionality when the unit is idle or when it's reading. So as you're reading along and you want to back up a sentence, it's real easy just to hit the 1 and repeatedly hit it and just let it continue reading to, you know, skip back and repeat something or what have you. Now, the 4 and the 6 are a little different. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to try to listen to a word or move word by word while the unit is reading. So instead of moving by words, the 4 and the 6 actually move backward and forward by paragraphs. So this is why you're reading, remember. Similarly, the 7 and the 9, instead of moving by characters while you're reading, they actually move by pages. Now, a page is an interesting concept with the Bookport. If you happen to have a file that is marked by pages, such as a digital talking book or even books with form feed characters in them, those commands will actually move you from page to page. If you just have a regular text file or a web page that doesn't really have any concept of a page, the Bookport estimates a page or approximates a page at around 2,000 characters. So it's just a way to easily move in larger chunks. And you'll find that the 7 is probably the most useful key that you have when you fall asleep at night listening to your Bookport and then you need to get back to the place where you last had consciousness. There is a sleep timer on the Bookport that's set to 30 minutes by default, so that if you don't press a key within 30 minutes, the unit will shut itself off, but you can actually cover a lot of material in 30 minutes, so that 7 helps you get back to it very quickly. Another way to move through files very quickly and precisely is with the power movement commands. These commands are on the bottom row of keys. The left 2 keys and the right 2 keys move you backward and forward in a what's known as a binary way. So if we're at the beginning of the file and we press the E and the F keys together, and this works whether the unit is in idle or reading mode. So if we press the E and the F together, I think we're pretty close to the beginning of this file. Actually, let's go ahead and move to the beginning of this
file. The Louisville Eccentric Observer Alternative Weekly Newspaper.
So if we press the E and the F together, it should say 50%.
49% Middle East would be
49. It's an approximation. We've now set our new upper and lower boundaries. So if we move to the right or towards the end of the file, we'll move from 49 or 50 to halfway between our lower boundary, which is now where we are if we're moving forward, and the end of the file. So let's try that.
74% Christopher Cook, May 21, 79 p.m., Barnes & Noble, 801 South.
And, of course, when it moves, it reads you a little bit to give you some context of where you are. So now if we move to the right again, we'll move between 74 and 100% of the file. Or if we move to the left, we'll move between 49 and 74% of the file.
62% in Louisville this weekend.
So now we've got our new boundaries. So if we move to the left, we'll move halfway between here and 49%. If we move to the right, we'll move halfway between this 62 and 74. So it's a good way to quickly narrow in on a section of the file that you're interested in. And again, this works while you're reading or while you're idle. So if you're reading, the command will move you and then just continue on reading at the new position. Let's look at the menus now. If you'll remember from the first lesson, the zero key opens the menu.
Set date and time.
And the two and the eight act like the up and down arrows. So what we'll do now is go through each menu item and describe its functions to you. So I'll press up arrow.
File locked, no.
File locked, no. And recall now that the four and the six are your keys to change the values here.
File locked, no.
So I pressed the 4, and it stayed on no. I pressed the 6.
File locked, yes.
And if I can either, I can just move off this. I don't have to do anything to make this take the setting. I'm going to go ahead and unlock it, though. I don't want
file
it locked.
Locked, no.
When a file is locked, you cannot delete it. So when you use the delete command, which, again, is the B and the E together, you have to do it twice. I'll show you how that works in just a little bit. The unit will not allow you to delete a file that is locked. So that's a way to protect yourself when you have a file that's important. It's fairly difficult to accidentally delete a file, but this gives you a little extra insurance. All right, we'll press the up arrow to go to the next setting.
Automatic file advancement, no.
Automatic file advancement is the concept that when you get to the end of a file, Bookport will automatically move to the next file in that folder and begin reading it. Now, what happens when automatic file advancement is set to no, as its default is that when it gets to the end of the file, as you're reading, it just says end of file and gives you the file name. Now, there's a special feature in Bookport that when you are at the end of the file and you press play, the unit will automatically restart at the beginning of that file. And this is very handy for, especially when you're listening to music files on the device, or if you're new to the device and you've read a file and you don't know how to get back to the beginning. It actually didn't used to do this, but we found that to be a very popular feature. And if you do really want to get back to the end of the file, you can just hold the 3 down for one beep, and that'll take you to the end of the file, and then you can navigate backwards from there. But it, like I say, if you have auto file advance set to yes, the unit will just continue reading the next file when it reaches the end of the current file. All right, let's press the up arrow.
Lock beep, yes.
Lock beep, yes. I think before we talk about lock beep and what it is, I need to show you how it works. And I will exit the menu. And you'll notice that when I do exit this menu, when we come back to it, we'll be right back on LockBeep. And this is a very handy feature that I'll tell you a little bit more about. So I'm going to press 0 to exit the settings menu. Now, LockBeep presumes that you understand the concept of locking the keys. So you can lock the keys to prevent any key from doing anything when you press it. And this is handy in two ways. If the unit is idle or you're carrying it in a bag, you may want to lock the keys to keep from accidentally pressing them. So to lock the keys, you press the 1 and the 3 together, and Bookport will say,
locked.
Locked. You press them again, and Bookport will say,
unlocked.
Unlocked. Let me go ahead and lock them.
Locked.
Now, when the keys are locked, it's a little disconcerting when nothing happens and you press a key. You know, your immediate reaction is, oh no, something's wrong. So to give you an indication that the keys are actually locked, when you press a key and the keyboard is locked, you get a beep like this. And it's coming actually from the Bookport, so you don't have to have the earbuds in your ears or anything. When you want to unlock the key, you know, I mean, when you hear that, you can say, well, okay, my Bookport's locked and I can just unlock it. Now, the problem with LockBeep is that sometimes if you're carrying the unit in your purse or your bag, these key beeps may become annoying. So you can use that menu item to turn those beeps off. Another thing I should mention about locking while we're on this subject is that you can also lock the keys while the unit is playing. And this is nice if you happen to be carrying the unit on your belt or what have you, and you're reading and, you know, you bend over and hit a key and it jumps all over the place. I remember when I was first testing these prototypes, the keys were a little bigger and easier to press, and I had a German Shepherd at the time, and he liked to hit me with his nose, and he would hit the key on my Bookport and it'd send me off into another book somewhere or into another place in the current book. So it's a little disconcerting, especially, you know, you may be out gardening or may be washing dishes or whatever while you're reading, and you're not in a position to take your hands and do anything with the keys. So when the unit is locked and you're reading, the keys don't actually beep anyway, and you can't stop the unit or do anything with it until you unlock it, and that's the purpose of it. Okay, so let's go back to the menu and continue on. Whoops, we're locked, and it told me, well, I can't do it, so I'm going to unlock it.
Unlocked.
Now we'll go back to the menu.
Lock beep, yes.
Let's press the up arrow.
Audio seek time 2.
Audio seek time. That's set to 2, and if you press the right arrow, your options are...
Audio seek time 10.
10.
Audio seek time 30.
30.
Audio seek time 60.
And 60. Now, what audio seek time is a way to move by time in an audio file. So you have normal navigation commands in an audio file, both with digital talking books and regular audio, but they're indexed at the time that you send the material. So you have movements like your next sentence movement is 2 seconds, and then your paragraph is 10 seconds, your page is 30 seconds, and your section key or subsection key is 60 seconds. But what that does is actually move you to the next mark that was set at that point. So you may be 30 seconds between, you may be right in between 2 60-second marks, and if you press the previous section key, you'll really only move back 30 seconds. With the audio seek time, you actually move back and forward from the position that you're in right now. This was a bit of a more of a important command in earlier versions when there were not as many navigation commands available, especially to unindexed audio files. And we'll save a discussion for indexing and unindexed audio files for another lesson. Suffice it to say that this audio seek time lets you set the amount of time that you want to move from the current position. Now, the commands to move from that current position are the one and the two together, to move backwards by the audio seek time, and the two and the three together, to move forward by the audio seek time. Let's press an up arrow to go to the next section, the next item in the menu.
Key echo, yes.
Key echo. This is a another setting that affects a feature that we have not discussed yet and that we'll discuss partially a little later in this lesson, and that is the fact that you can actually use the book port to type in Braille by turning the unit 90 degrees from its normal operating position and using the keys as if they were a Braille writer. And what this setting does is to say, as I type, I want to hear what I type. And the default is to say yes. Many people prefer not to be annoyed by listening to what they type. They may already know what they're typing. And when you turn the key echo off, that's exactly what you get. You get no feedback about the text that you're entering. Now, of course, all the navigation keys still give you the feedback. So if you press the backspace or the delete key or what have you, you'll still get feedback about what characters you've already entered. This just affects what you're typing at the current time. So let's press the up arrow to go to the next setting.
Spanish, no.
Spanish. This tells Bookport to use Spanish pronunciation rules on the file, on the current file. This is on a per-file basis. So it wouldn't make sense to set this to yes because I'm actually reading an English text right here. The Louisville Eccentric Observer magazine is not, or at least the one I have on my Bookport, is not in Spanish. There are many Spanish books available from Bookshare, or you may have some Spanish files. And if you do have a Spanish file, you would set this to yes, and the unit will read to you using the rules of Spanish pronunciation. Okay, let's move to the next item in the menu with the up arrow.
Frequency, 6.
Frequency is a speech setting. And I think you can get an idea of how it changes the effect of the current voice as we move. We'll change the setting and just listen to how it changes the voice. So let's move.
Lower, 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 lower.
And we'll just let it play a little bit of the file.
In Louisville this weekend, bringing their two drummer, two bassist, thunder cannon of a rhythm section.
We'll go back to the menu. Now you notice we're came right back to frequency. So again, this concept that you return to the current item in the menu is very handy. So let's change this to we're hitting the right arrow. We'll go all the way up. Now listen to how it sounds.
Thunder cannon of a rhythm section, not to overlook singer guitarist Mick Collins, former leader of the Gorries, who have obviously influenced, among others, the White Stripes, who saw the way.
Okay. We'll go back to, and we'll go ahead and set this back to 6. It's
lower,
normal setting.
Lower.
Actually, something happened there that I would like to point out to you too. If you are reading when you go into the menu, you will actually continue reading when you come out. So
reading keypad influenced, among others, the White Stripes, who saw the way atop the mountain of boom, mixing an affinity for Hendrix with a little.
And I'll go back into the menu.
6.
And we'll just remember that it is reading. If you're in idle when you go into the menu, you'll be in idle when you exit the menu, obviously. Okay, we'll press the up arrow.
Volume, 35.
Volume, this is just a different way to set the volume. We'll actually set this up just
louder,
a little bit.
Louder.
And, of course, you remember from anywhere in the device you can use the D and the F keys to set the volume. This is just a way, and you know, for new people or if you're not sure, if you want to check to see exactly what the volume setting is on. Okay, we'll press the up arrow.
Speed, 4.
Speed is 4, and that's the same way with the volume, except this affects the speed of the speech. And again, there are duplicate controls with the A and the C to slow down and speed up the speed of pronunciation. Okay, let's press the up arrow again.
Pitch, 60.
Pitch, again, this is a voice setting. You can change the range of the pitch. There's no dedicated key for it on the unit, but as you can see, we'll... Now, if we read... Same way, we can slow it down.
Lower.
And he actually have quite a different sound now. Back to the menus. And that'll go down quite a ways, too. You can really get a low pitch with this. If we go back to reading now.
Reading keypad stage. Run EMAC and DLD door backup and a local power drill with a Kings pipe.
And back pitch to the menu. All right, let's go to the next item.
Voice, precise beat.
There are several voices available that essentially are really preset settings for the items that we just went through. Not necessarily the speed and the volume, but the pitch and the frequency. So let's just listen to what voices we have available. And a lot of people enjoy Biff. We'll just let you hear what he sounds
reading
like.
Reading keypad trio with a king's pipe opens. Should be pretty raucous.
Okay, and back to the
voice,
menu.
Biff.
Right arrow.
Skip.
Skip. We'll let you hear what that sounds
reading
like.
Reading keypad on Cult Legends 2126 of Preston Street 6344147 $10 21 plus 9 p.m. music Saturday.
And
night.
Back
voice,
to the
skip.
Menu. Well, right arrow.
Robo Robert.
I don't think many people go for that one.
Perfect call.
This is a very popular voice.
Reading keypad Saturday, May 14th, Lysandarist's attention, Alphaz. Also, anyone who's read at least one of the Thursday next novels. And let's throw in
back to
voice.
The menu.
Perfect call.
Vader.
Big Bob.
This is also one that people enjoy.
Reading keypad and let's throw in fans of the most theatrical of literate Britpop from early Genesis and Strops to Belle and Sebastian and Richard Thompson's story.
Back
voice,
to the
Big
menu.
Bob. Precise beat.
And precise beat is our default voice. Let's press the up arrow.
Punctuation, some with numbers.
Punctuation is a setting that lets you determine how much punctuation you want to hear. By default, the unit is set to some with numbers. If, however, you are reading technical material or programming type of material or proofreading a paper you've written maybe or you need to check for punctuation, you might want to set this to a higher punctuation setting. The available settings are, let me go to the left.
Most with numbers. All space with space numbers. None. Some. Most. All. None with numbers. Some with numbers.
And what we mean by some with numbers and then the other settings without numbers is that with numbers means that the synthesizer pronounces the digits 826 is 826. And if you did not have it set to with numbers, it would just say 826. Just a matter of preference. All right, let's press the up arrow.
Sensitivity, 15.
Now, sensitivity is set to 15, and this refers to the number of milliseconds required to hold down a key before the one beep functionality takes effect. So you can set this to a lower value, which means that you would not have to hold the key down as long to achieve the one beep functionality. Let's go ahead and probably enough said about that. Let's go to the next item, up arrow.
Minutes spoken, 151.
Now, minutes spoken is not really a setting. It's more of an informational type of item in the menu. And what that tells you is that since your last reset or battery change, you have actually used the device for 151 minutes in this case. And this is a good way to just to judge what kind of time you're getting from batteries. In a minute, we'll show you how to check your battery status. But the battery status commands really only work with regular alkaline AA batteries. And many people prefer to use rechargeable batteries, and the gauge on the book port is not accurate with rechargeable batteries. But this setting may help you get a more precise picture of your battery usage. And, you know, this may actually be useful if you're testing different brands of batteries and like to see, you know, how many minutes you can get from, you know, Eveready versus Duracell or whatever. Okay, let's go to the next menu item with the up arrow.
Sleep timer, 30.
Sleep timer, we talked about just a moment ago. This is a setting that you can actually go back and set it to zero by pressing the left arrow until you get to zero to shut off the sleep timer. But the way the sleep timer works is that if you don't press a key for 30 minutes, the unit will announce sleep timer is expired and shut itself off. And this, again, is for when you fall asleep while you're reading to keep you from, well, A, wasting battery, and B, getting too far away from the last place you were that you remember. And 30 seems to be a fairly accurate setting. If you're out doing something with your hands and you're, you know, out in the garden or what have you and you have your hands dirty, you may want to set this to, you may want to turn off the sleep timer so that it won't expire while you're working. Okay, let's press the up arrow.
Page number 30.
Now, the page number setting is quite an interesting one because not only is this an informational menu item, it's also a setting. So we can press the 5 or the select key.
Go to page.
And it says go to page. Let's say I want to go to page 12. I type in 1, 2. Then I press the number key to execute that command. And what that'll do is actually exit the menu and put me on page 12 of this file.
A message to those waiting for the cover of night, then sneak into an isolated area to illegally dump your waste. Have at it. The Louisville Metro Department of Solid Waste recently...
All right,
page
back,
number
to the,
12.
Back to the menu, and now it tells me page 12. Now, again, it took off reading because I went into the menu in reading mode. If I had not been in reading mode, it would have just moved to page 12 and not resumed reading. Okay, let's press the up arrow once more.
Set date and time.
And we're back to set date and time. So let's exit the menu. I think we've pretty well discussed most of the things in the menus.
Reading keypad, Metro Department of Solid.
Now let me just talk a second here about more subtle differences between idle and reading mode. One of the things that we hadn't mentioned that is kind of interesting is that when you move from file to file and you're in reading mode, the unit just continues in reading mode. So let me just show you how that works. I'll press, let me turn this down so that I can talk over
softer,
it.
Softer.
So I'll press play.
Metro Department of Solid Waste
recently. Let me turn it down a little more. Okay. So now I'm going to press the next file command. And I'll press the previous file command. Previous. Oh, this must be the first file. So we'll stop it. Actually, let's make sure this is the first file. Yeah. Now, another thing, while you're reading, we mentioned to you that the 8 key normally gives you the character you're on. When you're in idle? Well, when you're reading, it gives you your percentage. So let's press it. 22%. If you press the 8 and hold it down for one beep, you get a lot more information. Let's check it out. So we heard a lot of information there. We heard the percentage that we are in the file, the size of the file, the time the file was last modified, and the date. We heard that it was unlocked, and then we heard that we have on this specific card 241 megabytes free. So that actually is how you also tell how much space you have available on your card. Now, interestingly enough, let's see where we are now. We'll press the current character command, which is the 8, while we're in idle. Yep. Let's press the 8 for one beep now, and we get the phonetic pronunciation. So if you cannot understand the synthesized speech very accurately, that's a good way for you to be able to tell exactly what the character is. You know, sometimes a B and a D or an M and an N are difficult to distinguish. Now, the same way with the 5. There's a 5 command to read the current word.
Follow.
And if you hold down the 5, it spells the word.
F-O-L-L-O-W.
So those are some one-beep functionality commands that you may be interested in. Another key that proves very useful and that we touched on a moment ago is the battery status command. So if you press the D and the F together,
battery level is 44%.
You get battery level is 44%. Let's do it again.
Battery level is 46%.
And we didn't suddenly gain extra energy. This battery gauge is an approximation based on the activity you were recently doing. So it's actually a very accurate way to judge the remaining capacity of your batteries. Now, another key to give you status information is the A and the C together. And what that'll do is give you the version number of the firmware along with your serial number. So your number, possibly for the version, if you're listening to this information and a newer version of the firmware has been released and you've installed it, your version number may be a little different than that. Your serial number will certainly be different. Now, I think we mentioned in the second lesson that, you know, this may be a little difficult for you to be able to understand, especially in the beginning. So this information is repeated it's also available when you have your book port connected and you're in the book port transfer window and you go to the About dialog. Right there at the end of the dialog, that information is available. Now, finally, we talked about the command to delete a file. So let's see how that command works. I'm through with this Leo magazine, so let me move to it if I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and turn this back up since we're going to focus on it a little bit. Now, if we press the B and the E together,
press again to delete Leo, the Louisville Eccentric Observer Alternative Weekly Newspaper.
And we can press it again.
Leo, the Louisville Eccentric Observer Alternative Weekly Newspaper deleted the Prince and the Pauper.
And then so it told us it deleted that file and then told us the name of the new file that we're pointing at. And finally, I would like to discuss the Find command. Find is a very powerful feature of the book port, and there are actually two ways to use it. One of them is to find an existing occurrence of text. In other words, when you see a word, it's pretty easy to mark it and then find the next occurrence. So let's get into the content of this book a little bit so that I can demonstrate this to you. I'm going to press play and then the next page command a few times to get to the past all the initial information.
Of the prince
so
of yours,
page, page, page.
Bed at by and by Tom's reading all night long the glory. Poor little Tom in his rags approached and was moving slowly and Tim.
Okay, let's look for the word. Let's go to the word approached. I'm going to move by character.
Past the sentinel with a beating a with.
Let's see. Let me move.
Poor little Tom in his rags approached and was moving slowly.
Okay, so we'll move forward by words.
Little Tom in his rags approached.
Now to set the beginning of a mark to indicate a fine string, we press the 7 and 9 together. I think you'll remember earlier the second row of keys was devoted to bookmarks, setting them, clearing them, and moving to them. Well, the third row is dedicated to finding things. So to set the beginning of a fine string, we can press the 7 and 9 together. And we get that beep confirmation. So let's move character by character to the end of this word.
B-R-O-A-C-H-E-D, comma, D.
And I'm going to back up to the D, and I'll hit the 7 and 9 again.
Find text equals approached.
Okay, so the find text is now set to approached. To move to the next occurrence of approached, I think you probably have already guessed that you press the 8 and the 9 together.
Tom was assisted to his feet and approached the majesty of.
And the next occurrence, same way.
Their way was unobstructed until they approached London.
And to go back, you press the 7 and the 8 together.
Tom was assisted to his feet and approached the majesty of.
And again, back to the previous
one. Poor little Tom in his rags approached and was moving slowly.
So that's a very convenient way to find an occurrence of text that you've already seen in the material. Now, what happens if you want to find something that you haven't run across before? Well, this is where things get really interesting. You can press the 7, 8, and 9 together, and you'll hear something like this.
Find text is approached. Enter Braille.
So it said, find text is approached. Enter Braille. We have now entered the Braille keyboard. And the way the Braille keyboard works is that you actually take your unit and turn it 90 degrees clockwise. So now the connectors are to your right and the flashcard is facing toward you. And if you'll notice, you now have 6 keys across in 3 rows. Well, that top row of keys, the one furthest away from your body, is a regular Braille keyboard. So from left to right, you have dot 3, dot 2, dot 1, then dot 4, dot 5, and dot 6. The second row contains arrow keys, escape, and enter. And the layout of those keys is escape on the left, left arrow, up arrow, down arrow, right arrow, and enter. And then the bottom row of keys contains the space bar in the middle. So the two keys in the middle, either one of them will act as a space. Either side of them, to the left is your backspace, and to the right is your delete. And then the two keys on the corner, on the left is dot 7, and on the right is dot 8. So to make a capital letter, you use dot 7 to add to the character that you're typing. So if you wanted to type a capital A, you would type dot 1 and 7 together. Okay, so let's think of a word. How about pauper? So we'll go ahead and type in Braille. P.
P. A. U. P. E. R.
Now, I will tell you that this is not grade 2 Braille. This is computer Braille. So there are some punctuation commands that you're going to have to learn to be able to use this effectively. Okay, now we've typed that in. There's several things we can do here now that we have the string that we're looking for. We can press enter, and that'll just enter that string into the find buffer. So we'll use the same back and next commands that we did before, you know, the 8 and the 9 to move forward to the next occurrence of that string, or the 7 and the 8 to move to the previous occurrence. Or we can just use the up arrow and down arrow. So if we press the up arrow, we'll go ahead and move straight to the previous occurrence, and if we press the down arrow, we'll move to the next occurrence of it. Or we can press escape to cancel that. So let's go ahead and press down arrow to see if we can find the next occurrence of pauper.
Exit rail mode. And the prayer of the pauper boy heart was answered at last.
And there it is. You heard it say exit braille mode. Well, now we're no longer in the braille keyboard mode. So we turn the book port back to its normal operating position. We'll have a more extensive discussion of braille input on the book port in a future lesson. There's actually a quite extensive set of features that allows this device to be a note taker. And when we get to that section, we'll talk about how to type in punctuation using computer braille. But in the meantime, look in your manual. The combinations of dots required to make each punctuation character are listed in a table there. In, I believe it's Appendix C. Well, let's just look. Let's press the help key.
Help. Press help again to exit 2005.05.16 overview port is a portable device.
And let's just move by sections. Actually, let's go to the end because I know this is fairly close to the end in one of the appendices. And I'll move to the previous section.
Appendix E.
I'm pressing
user license agreement.
The 1 key and the 4 key together.
Appendix D. Glossary. Appendix E. Braille input.
Braille input. Let's just read this and see.
Appendix C, Braille input, positioning the unit to use the Braille keyboard. Turn the port 90 degrees from its normal operating position, so the compact flashcard faces toward you.
Okay, I stopped it. Now I'm going to press the next subsection commands. So I'm going to press the 6 and the 9 together.
Special characters.
Special characters.
Corded commands.
Corded commands.
Layout.
Layout.
Dots for Braille characters.
And dots for Braille characters. Here's actually a table that lists all the dot combinations necessary to make each of the characters, whether it be punctuation, letters, numbers, what have you. So I think one of the first things you'll see when you type a number, you don't actually precede it by a number sign. You drop the number down in the cell. So instead of typing number sign dot one for 1, or, you know, an A, number sign and an A for dot 1, you actually drop that dot down in the cell, so you would type a dot 2, and that represents the number 1. Again, we'll get into this in much more detail when we start talking about the note taker in a later lesson. This concludes Lesson 3, Advanced Book Port Commands.